Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And this is Max Rushton.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We talked American football with a guy with quite amazing story.
Brilliant
didn't
story.
We?
Great talker.
Yeah. Effie Abada plays for the Carolina Panthers, but started his career playing American football in London. Very nice guy. You'll hear from him. We also talked boxing. I had a bit of a chat with Gareth A. Davis, slightly fearful of an Evander Holyfield Mike Tyson fight, which sort of led to another conversation along similar lines. So we hope you enjoy that with Gareth. We had a bit of a chat about various things, some of it pun-based. And we also had the birthday spread, which was a thriller.
It really was a thriller. We can't give it away, but wow, what a game.
Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. And so it's good to get everything done, isn't it? Manchester City are champions. Manchester United, Leicester, West Ham, Champions League. Sheffield United, West Brom, Fulham down. We can go off air until the Euros.
Yeah, so that's what we can shut down, can't
Absolutely
we?
Absolutely
yeah,
right.
No need to talk about football again at any point until the European Champions.
It's all done, isn't it?
I did that thing last night. I'm fine in with five games. Is that game too far? I find with four games I can maybe have a bit of discipline and stick. But you flit with five games, don't you? You just can't help yourself.
So I thought the palate cleanser was normally the bad game, but actually Leeds, because Leeds, it doesn't matter who Leeds are playing, the game becomes exciting. And Leeds-Everton was just a breathless football match, wasn't it? And I know Everton were brilliant for the first half, and then Leeds hammered them in the second half, and I was just... there were so many great moments, but I do have a problem that I'd like to take up with the Premier League.
Oh, yeah.
That the palate cleanser at Leeds-Everton and Fulham-Leicester were on at the same time. Mm. So I kind of had a kick clash between my laptop and my TV where both... It was white v blue for both, and so I had to.
They should have really an eye on the kits being warm because people are watching more game,
exactly.
More than one game.
Yeah,
at
if
once.
You've got more than one screen,
there's quite a lot of them to think about during a pandemic, isn't it? Really,
listen, you know that's why they're paid a lot of money, aren't
they?
These football
so.
Administrators.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a problem that I'm
surprised you stayed with Leicester Fulham because you was kind of dead at half time.
Well, I gave up on Burnley City because City are just imperious, aren't they? And I thought they there were two moments though in the football yesterday that upset me slightly, not just that kick clash across games. Gabriel Jesus not finishing that chance that when Gundogan chested it off. I love a chest in football. It's a great moment.
It was good, wasn't
it? It was a beautiful layoff and Jesus didn't finish. And Alioski's volley hitting the post.
Yeah.
Because those goals that didn't happen will be lost to time now. Mm. People won't talk about them like...
They'll never be shown again.
They'll never be shown again, and that's a
unless
great
you
shame.
Bring out Max Rushton's 50 great chests.
That's a really
you could
good,
do that. You could have Zlatan's goal for Sweden against
true.
England, couldn't
I mean,
you?
You could
have the Alonso one, the other. Well, as soon as it hits anybody's chest, yes, and that was his knee, wasn't it?
Well, that show could go in two different directions, couldn't it? I'd very much go the footballing route.
I'm sure you would take the footballing route.
Yeah.
A rare mistake by Nick Pope, we should point out. I mean, that's not like him. It's typical. As soon as you start bigging someone up, he flaps at one, which is very rare for him, so I think we'll cut him some slack. And Olsen had a good game talking to keepers, so old Pickford maybe looking over his shoulder, made a couple
possibly.
Of big saves, didn't he?
Ryan Hunt tweeting yesterday, since Graham Potter made a point of ditching the tracksuit and going into his own clothes, played 7, won 5, drawn 1, lost 1, and Brighton were brilliant yesterday. I mean, perhaps Spurs losing wasn't as bad as we all thought it was.
I think they were brilliant yesterday.
I
think people always look for excuses, but three games in 6 days Liverpool had with a pretty stretched squad. I mean, I know they've got a deep squad and it doesn't take away from what Brighton did, but I've got a bit of sympathy for what Klopp said. They did look a bit mentally tired, didn't they?
I think so.
Brighton were fantastic. Completely deserved it, didn't they?
And you know, players who are fun. Dan Byrne is fun, isn't he? I mean, I know it's...
Do you think he's fun? Do you think he'd be fun to have a pint with?
Yeah.
You get that sense
I think he'd be life and soul.
He wouldn't go too far. He wouldn't start putting sort of pickled eggs down the back of your kecks.
No, I don't think
so. He wouldn't do a lot of the, some old footballer things, you know.
He wouldn't, he wouldn't.
Ping in the plant pots.
I don't think so. I don't think there'd be a 5p in your pint and you have to neck it. I don't think he wouldn't go, I don't think he'd play lookalikes as well. I don't think he'd go full Dyche. I think he'd just be, he's a good fun on the pitch. He'd be good fun off the pitch.
Maybe
as
if anybody involved in Brighton Hove Albion can tell us if that is the case with Dan Byrne. He may be miserable as sin.
Had you had a pint with Dan Byrne? Is he dry?
Yeah.
Is it not worth me, you know?
Well, maybe you want to give us. I mean, we do that as a feature normally around people who collect matchboxes and have a collection of 20. We have a little feature called Occasional Feature. I bet he'd be fun to have a pint with, where you're cornered by someone who's got 60 million pieces of Lego and then proceeds to tell you about it when you have a chance meeting in the pub. But maybe let's look at some of the footballers you feel would be fun to have a pint with. Yeah, you know, you could be completely wrong.
Yeah.
But let us know. Also, Sporting Bluffs, there is a head of the Super Bowl, one of these Super Bowl sponsors, have done a little survey and they've looked at Sporting Bluffers. 57% of adults have watched a sporting contest without knowing the rules, with rugby scrums and football's offside rule among the hardest to grasp. People went along and just got soaked up in the atmosphere, but it's 1 in 6 had faked understanding to impress others. So
yeah, absolutely. Have you ever bluffed and got caught,
or caught somebody out doing it?
Absolutely,
of course.
Right. Don't just say all the TalkSport presenters.
Oh yeah. We take that as read.
Jim says, I went on a date to a rugby match. I spent 20 minutes supporting the wrong team. it's quite good.
That's a good start.
So if you could keep those coming, please. Yeah. One other note from last night was Dean Smith afterwards. I would talk about West Ham in just a second. And I thought Villa would win this game. But Dean Smith said, look, we got done on the counter-attack. Sunday League football, you wouldn't do that. Just speaking from experience, I think you absolutely would.
Yeah.
I got a feeling that, and I know I play Saturdays, but had our Saturday team hosted West Ham in their current form, I think it may have been more than 3-1.
You think so?
Could have been. Five or six, yeah, possibly.
We're just hearing that Bednarek's red from the United game's going to be challenged, going to be appealed
by Southampton.
And I'm just wondering if, it overcomplicates things, I know, but if they look at it and they decide that the officials were hoodwinked, which I'll be really surprised at, because Mike Dean doubled down at the time, so the PGMO are not suddenly going to say he got it completely wrong. I think they are wasting their time, to be honest.
Yeah, Mike Dean had a great opportunity when watching the screen to notice that Martial dived and he didn't spot it there.
Have we reached the stage, though, where if there is a feeling that it was a dive when looking at it in the cold light of day, that you should give Martial or anybody who does that, not just him, a bit of a retrospective yellow?
I'm happy with that.
Yeah, you're happy with that?
I think so. Maybe
I think it's about time, isn't it?
Yeah, and maybe go back, take all the players back to the pitch.
In that moment, one, two, that's it. No, you're slightly, just move your left foot back slightly, that's it.
I did, I mean, didn't Southampton have said, look, they don't want, Southampton have sort of said, we don't want Mike Dean to officiate any upcoming games. And they also don't want Lee Mason, who was the fourth official.
Well, you're running out of people, aren't you, really?
Just say, well, it's Graham Scott or nothing.
Yeah.
Who is it? We are a Martin Atkinson-based team.
He can move into one of the exec boxes, can't he?
He'd be on the coach.
Nice. Yeah,
come off the coach with big headphones and his mask on.
Good old
on.
Martin, he's our 12th man, which is not necessarily a good thing. Do you see the shock news today, by the way?
Oh, what's happened?
This is in the world of Italian football, if only I could find it. If I can find it now, look at that. I've cut it out. I'm doing an Andy, I can't believe it.
That's okay, because people like that moment. Here we are.
Mussolini's great-grandson has signed a professional contract at Lazio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Romano Floriani Mussolini has joined the club's youth system.
Right.
And I was thinking, I mean, there was Chris Hitler, of course, who spent a couple of years in the Blue Square. I mean, you may remember him just dipping from team to team.
He played for Dagenham, didn't he?
There's Alan Starling, Joe's great-grandson. Not been many, though, have they, really?
No. Remember Jeffrey Pott? He was a really good one, wasn't he?
There was Des Potts. Des Potts. He was very good.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
You may have seen the Roy Jones Jr. Mike Tyson fight back in November. It was very popular. I think among the top 10 pay-per-view fights of all time, which is staggering, really. I've got to be honest, it doesn't sit well with me. And even more troubling is that we hit the day that it could be Tyson Holyfield 3. It could be in the Middle East, could be a £200 million fight. But I think the idea of a kind of legends boxing circuit is very troubling. Let's see if our fine co-presenter of our fine show here on TalkSport Boxing Show and the Telegraph's boxing correspondent, Gareth A. Davis, agrees. Hi, Gareth.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, mate.
I know these are predominantly exhibitions, but it doesn't take much for a 58-year-old man to, you know, to something terrible to happen. And I don't want this to happen to Holyfield, Tyson, or any of these great fighters. I don't like the fact that this is getting ahead of steam up. It was so lucrative, the first one, you kind of knew there were going to be more. I don't know how you feel about it.
Well, I think you put your finger on the pulse there, really, Paul, because, you know, you think about it, Evander Holyfield hasn't boxed for 10 years, and as you say, he's 58. It's a quarter of a century since these two men, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield, had those two monumental fights, the ear-biting, the drama, the controversy, all those things. But the problem is, when you look at last year and the three main pay-per-view successes of the year, the first one was that one, 1.2 million pay-per-view buys, Tyson against Roy Jones Jr. Although, and I think we need to talk about this, the young YouTuber Jake Paul was on the card against the former NBA player Nate Robinson. We could talk about that, more of that in a moment. But the other two big pay-per-views of the year were Conor McGregor's comeback in the UFC against Donald Cerrone in Las Vegas. I was there. It topped about a million. And then in February, Tyson Fury winning the WBC title against Deontay Wilder, also in Vegas, about 800 to 850 are the figures released. When you see that, it's no wonder that these guys are talking about it. And if you get a Holyfield Tyson 3, the trilogy, you know what's going to be on the top of it. It's going to be a Logan Paul against a Mayweather, or it's going to be a Jake Paul. Well, Jake Paul is about to fight another MMA fighter in a boxing match, Ben Askren. It will do big numbers. He's not renowned for his boxing. He's a wrestler. Purely on those numbers alone. And unfortunately, fight sports is sports entertainment, but it's a business. People see those big figures. Mike Tyson made $7.5 million from that exhibition bout with Roy Jones. You know, I stayed up till 5 in the morning to tap out a live report for the Telegraph on it. That's how much interest there was. But unfortunately, it's doing numbers. It goes viral online, and therefore it becomes an event. There's nothing we can do about it.
And that's what, you know, there are probably lots of, you know, with the YouTube thing, right? We are four middle-aged men who are not sort of into YouTubers. You know, we're not just yelling at clouds here. You know, people like it, and we have to. And listen, a lot of sport is nostalgia, and a lot of, if you like it or not, a lot of boxing is sort of bloodlust. So if you put those things all together, then people are going to watch.
I've got no appetite to watch a bloke who's on YouTube who I'm sure has done a little bit of work in the gym and it might look good in an amateur fight.
And neither have I. But
taking
people,
on Floyd Mayweather, who could kill him,
but the people
but
do.
The two Paul brothers, Logan and Jake, between them have 50 million subscribers to their YouTube channel. You know, think about those numbers.
Yeah. But I wouldn't want to watch them thrown in front of a bus. I want to see them repeatedly punched in the head by someone who's you know, whose hands are weapons. I think it does boxing a disservice, really. It's very hard to...
It does. Yeah,
how often do you, me, have to sort of fight boxing's corner as a sport? And people say, why do you like that? And it gets harder when you've got blokes of 58 and 54 fighting each other and kids who've got a YouTube channel taking on some of the greatest fighters of all time. I think it's harder to defend it as a sport where the more of you get this sort of stuff happening.
Well, I thought I was coming on to give an opinion today, and clearly you're very, very opinionated yourself. No, I completely agree with you. It's a very difficult thing to. I think something's shifting. The axis is shifting here. There is a younger audience. I mean, Jake Paul and Logan Paul, you see, they haven't just got a huge following. They're very clever marketeers. You know, they play the D-dash-dash-dash act all the time. They play it up. They create these stunts. They're as brilliant at marketing a fight as Floyd Mayweather was, as Conor McGregor is, and they capitalize from it. They've got Teofimo Lopez is the number one lightweight in the world at the moment, put out a great tweet yesterday, and he completely agrees with you, and I agree with him, that's diminishing and diluting the hours, days, weeks, and years that proper boxers put into the sport.
But not just that, Gareth. If something happened to one of these guys, to one of these legends, you know, they were really badly hurt or even worse, or one of these YouTube fighters, it comes back on boxing as a sport. People would say, well, what do you expect? It's boxing's fault. And it wouldn't be boxing's fault, would it?
I think it's more likely, and we saw, I mean, on the main event, if you like, with Jones and Mike Tyson, which drew a lot of people to the event, obviously was Jake Paul, I say the YouTuber Jake Paul, 22, 25 million followers against the former NBA player Nate Robinson, who clearly, if you haven't seen it, Jensen, if people want evidence about the poverty of boxing, of some people being allowed in the ring, go and look at Nate Robinson's performance against Jake Paul, how horribly he is knocked out, how he doesn't know where he is. I'm more worried about those people that don't know how to box getting hurt in there as well, and diminishing the reputation of the sport that I've covered now for nearly 30 years. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree with both of you, and I'm not a boxing fan, and you're right, it would... it does make me just go that the whole thing is a circus, and it is important to make that, to make a division between people who take this sport very seriously, and it is an art form, right? Like lots of sports are. One of the problems seems to me that, you know, if you watch YouTubers try and play football, Soccer Aid, the game is rubbish, right?
And it's a bit of fun, isn't it? It's a bit of fun.
It's a bit of fun, but you're watching it going, this is rubbish. You know, charity cricket match, whatever. It's the bit
of... But you're not being punched in the head, are you?
I mean, I agree with you completely on the safety issue, but a fight is a fight. And if you see a fight outside a pub, you go, oh, look, there's a fight outside a pub. Like, people who aren't watching it for the art are still watching two people have a fight.
It's the old story. Someone screams fight in the playground and everybody's watching it. That's what happens. It's human nature, unfortunately. And you know, it's down to the commissions at the end of the day. Mm. It's down to the Boxing Board of Control. It's down to the commissions in America to say, no, this is the line. We need to come and investigate you and see if you are veritable as a boxer. We certify you. That's the only way they'll stop it. Yeah. But I don't think they will. I think this is a... I mean, I don't know if you've got time to tell you this story, but in the 20s, Oscar Wilde's nephew, I might have told you this story before, Paul. Mm. Oscar Wilde's nephew, Arthur Craven, who was a Dadaist, won the French Light Heavyweight Championship by turning up, and he was the only person to turn up. So he was designated French Light Heavyweight Champion. The first African-American heavyweight champion of the world, Jack Johnson, was on tour in Europe, running away from the authorities in America, and he agreed to an exhibition bout in a new bull ring in Madrid. And he basically... had a fight with Jack Johnson. There was a 6,000 crowd, and they all wanted to see some bloodlust. And every time Jack Johnson touched him, he went down on the ground and curled up like an embryo. The rest of the time, he ran around Jack Johnson, sprinting around the ring to get
like the Laurel and Hardy movie.
It was exactly like that. There was a riot. The police were called, and it caused a terrible controversy at the time. Mm. That was in the 20s. That was 100 years ago.
Yeah.
These things have always happened. And you know, you go back to gladiatorial Rome, and I haven't looked through the Latin tomes to find one.
Yeah.
But I bet you there's a time where two gladiators who were horribly mismatched got in there, and they had a similar kind of thing. I think it's probably always been the case. But it's important we discuss it and we police it.
If we want an eyewitness report of gladiatorial Rome, we'll get Colin Hart on, Gareth. Of course not, Colin. I don't mean it. I take it back. Cheers, Gareth.
Thanks,
all the best.
Gareth.
We'll catch up with you
soon.
Cheers. There we are.
I think it's a fascinating debate, but you know, how do you stop it? I mean, how do you stop two people having a fight? You can't.
You can't. But you know, as Gareth said there, these fights are being sanctioned. People are throwing an awful lot of money at them to do this. And this is a 54 and a 58 year old man. Who are going to sort of take... Oh, look,
it's a ludicrous idea.
They are exhibition fights as such, but you do worry. You know, if you're repeatedly... If you take a few blows to the head at 58 from a guy who's in good shape...
Of course.
That's not great. And it's even worse when it's someone like Mayweather versus a guy... I know that the Paul brothers have kind of taken it seriously to an extent, but, you know, they've never been hit like that before.
No,
anyway,
I think
it's a potty idea, and it does demean the sport. But anyway... people who pay to watch it, what do I know?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We mentioned earlier on this survey that said 57% of adults have watched sport without knowing the rules and kind of bluffed their way through it. David and Isha says, my grandmother was an avid snooker watcher, but she never did know or even realise until I pointed it out that the colours had to be potted in a strict order. Didn't she sometimes wonder, why doesn't he go for that
He's
easier
He's going all the way
one?
Around the houses.
Go for that easier shot. Okay, God, he was bold, wasn't he? Off four cushions just trying to get that green in.
Oh, we were talking earlier about Dan Byrne and whether he was a fun footballer.
You, you thought he looked like a nice bloke, and I said, would he be fun to have a pint with? We got Eyewitness News, haven't we?
Yeah, I worked on a football project in Blyth, where Dan Byrne is from, home of the mighty Spartans, which he played in when he was 15, 16. I can't vouch for his in-the-pub persona, but I know he loves a laugh, enjoys being the life and soul of the group, remains a great lad to this day, still going to the same pub with his old mates when he's back in the town to this day. There we are. So we're proved right.
Yes.
Just by Dan Byrne's movement down the left-hand side for Brighton. You could see it. He'd be nice to have two or three pints with. Doesn't have to be more than that.
No.
I'll be happy with that.
I don't think a Graham Potter would be happy if he did have more than that, certainly. I mean, he doesn't look like a man. Certainly, he didn't play like a man who has two or three pints a night last night.
No, not at all. He did against Wolves, to be fair. <can't>
Sorry, Dan, if you're listening. Anne from Leicester says, I played for a police football team and the chairman was the superintendent in charge of the station. One day after a famous victory, he decided to buy everyone on our team a drink in the away team bar. Unfortunately, he didn't watch many matches and mistakenly bought a round of drinks for the opposition, not recognising any of us at all. Yes, it didn't go down well. He got absolutely hammered. But bluffers, we are looking for bluffers from the world of sport this afternoon. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. If you've tried to bluff your way through it without knowing the rules or you've witnessed someone come a cropper, let us know. Max, you were going to set something else up and you did it online and you've got a lot of feedback on it.
This is a pretty root one. This is a 4-4-2-1, but Thomas Tuchel saying, you know, I want to conduct a Chelsea orchestra. I believe in a disciplined structure on the field and in respect from everybody for his position. It's like an orchestra. We have to follow a discipline, a speed, a style. Everybody should know where the other guy is. We need a good relationship between the players and me so we trust each other. So, come on then. Your football orchestra, 8-10-89.
What have you got then?
John Oboe Mikel.
Nice.
Tubarak Akpom.
That's quite good. That's a good one.
Cor Anglais Flo. Very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Giovanni Lo Celso.
Are these all yours?
No, I haven't come up with these. These are from the listener. Should I name them?
I think you should give them. Okay.
Alex, Jesse, Violin Guard. The chief exec says Ollie is Ed Woodwind. Scott says Marco Van Batten. Very nice. Trevor Kettle Drum refereeing, says Tom HS. Marco Gabbiadini's got in touch. Peter Marincello, old school,
he says.
And Tim says the super agent Mino Viola.
Nice. So, yeah. Nice. Good work by your acolytes.
Yes. And Martin Ziegler, the late Papa Tuba Diop as well. Yeah. So, lots of those.
Quite a few tubers. Timothy, a tuber, of course, formerly of Spurs. Nice. Anyway, if you like, go on, why not? We'll chuck a few of those in as well. Yeah, we won't go mad.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, it is Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton here on TalkSport. Andy Jacobs and Jeff Peters join us for another birthday spread. We'll explain the rules. Pretty straightforward. If you've not heard it before, you can play along at home and take us on and even work out your own score. Put us to the sword.
You'll probably be better at the maths than we are.
Yeah. Thankfully, Jeff's on hand and his maths is a bit sketchy.
I've lost every game in a row and the real tragedy is I actually care.
I know. Like I've noticed. I've seen you do look a bit crestfallen at the end of the show.
I've seen you fist pump, getting one spot on. You know, don't pretend there's no competitive bone in your body.
Well, we'll see what happens, and we'll look ahead to Chelsea versus Tottenham remaining Premier League midweek fixture, or the other way around, of course, Tottenham versus Chelsea. And Effie Abada joins us from the Carolina Panthers. And we'll be looking ahead to the Super Bowl, looking at his rise through the ranks from the London Amateur League of American Football. It's quite amazing. Being picked up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm interested to know if you have a list of all the great quarterbacks you want to sack. That's his job, is to sack people.
Yeah, and he's sacked Brady. We'll play you a bit of audio of that later on. But,
Just sort of list them off, going, they're the ones I want. I got them. Hello, Curtis Davis, who's listening. Curtis Davis playing for? Is he still at Derby? I don't know.
I think he is.
I should know that, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Anyway, Steve McClarinet as the as the gaffer. Thank you very much.
That's very good. This is because Tuchel wants Chelsea to be like an orchestra, and Max decided to go, unlike him, quite puntastic. He's normally a.
I'm above a pun normally.
You're normally above a pun. Yeah. We're not, which is why Sean in Salford has said you've got to have the old Bolton and West Brom player, Len Cancello. Oh, beautiful. Yeah, of course. It's purpose built.
An anonymous text just writing, Paolo de Pianio. I mean, it's sort of.
That's
works,
quite good.
It? We'll take it.
Trumpeter check, says Gary in Farnham. Tor Andre Flute, says Abdul.
I like David says Tony Woodblock.
I think we're speaking to Tony Woodblock tomorrow.
Oh,
well,
great.
Obviously, the real one. Yeah. Xylophone Zidane, says Roger from Saddleworth.
What an Xylophone orchestra. Zidane.
What an
Come
orchestra
on.
We're building.
What did you end up with in the orchestra? Were you on the woodblock or were you on a violin, Paul?
No, I didn't play anything. So I could play. The school orchestra, I didn't really get involved in that.
Were you too cool for it?
No, I probably got cymbals. I might have had a go on the cymbals or something like that. I did.
Someone sent in cymbals Regis. I mean, that is pushing it, isn't it?
Yeah, that probably is pushing it. A Sporting Bluff, when playing cricket for Annick Town B years ago. The host team had to take turns as umpires, frantically arguing and trying to get LBW rule correct amongst ourselves. Our captain concluded, don't give anyone out LBW.
Oh, well, that is the first.
That does make the game more difficult to play, of course. Brent, for that.
It's the first rule of village cricket, isn't it? I mean, the first rule, and anybody who knows who plays village cricket, if you're not opening the batting, is just before the batsmen go out, that's when to go to the toilet so the gaffer can't, the captain can't go, can you do the first 10 overs, please? Because you don't want to do that.
It's tough,
and then
isn't it?
No one gives LBW in village cricket. I mean, you have to be basically standing behind the stage. You have to be bold, then they might just give
I think
it.
Andy admitted to quite a few moody ones at one point.
Andy's given his own teammates out.
No, I think he gave one or two of the opposition slightly moody decisions. I mean, look, he might put me right. So I think there was an incident when he umpired. I think he was telling this batsman how lucky he was all the time. You can have your lottery numbers, mate. I think it was one of those.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Third and long. Another blitz coming. Brady taken down. That time the pressure got home. F.A. Obata with the sack, the first of the game.
Yes, there we are. Our next guest in action for the Carolina Panthers against the Bucks, and they play in the Super Bowl this weekend. And F.A. Obata's played against them twice this year. It's quite some story, and he joins us now. F.A., good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Nice pleasure. Yeah, it's a great story how you were sort of picked up playing for the London Warriors, just playing amateur American football, and was spotted playing for them, and then went all the way to the NFL. I mean, it's quite a rare occurrence, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's been a very challenging and long journey. But I wouldn't trade it for the world.
It feels like such a huge jump to get into the NFL. I mean, is there any comparison at all?
Honestly, absolutely not. Like, it's a testament to the guys that are having a lot of success in the NFL. Like, in my early years, I didn't have success. I had a lot of doors shut in my face, and I had to go back to the lab and kept working and kept grinding and just constantly trying to make the most of the opportunities that I was given that even most people don't even get that are in the NFL or even have that have gone through that pathway from college. Not to talk about some guy that's come from Europe, from the UK, that's never played football before. Mm. So there is no comparison. But I was surrounded by a lot of great guys and a lot of great people that gave me a good opportunity. So yeah.
Did you have to go through this sort of combine system when you came over to the States or not?
Initially I didn't, but after a few no's, I did take part in a veteran combine in Arizona. And that kind of put me on the map on a few guys. And this was before the NFL pathway program kind of came into play.
This is where all the coaches come along and watch the kind of the guys go through the bait. They do sort of physical and psychological work on them and speak to them. But I think, Effie, they're talking this year because of the virus about a kind of virtual combine, which will be a quite difficult thing to do, I would think.
It would be. Honestly, I don't know how that's going to happen, but I pray that it does because the COVID has affected guys like the NFL Academy. I'm sure it's affected other parts of the sport. But if they can find a way around that to evaluate guys and get new talent into the game, then yeah, good on them.
Do you have any choice in sort of who you play for? I don't know, you didn't go through the draft system, but I always find that quite interesting when a player goes, "Hey, you've just signed for Cleveland," and they're sitting there going, "Well, I don't want to go to Cleveland." Like, you can't tell us now if the last place you want to be is Carolina, but they happen to want you. Do you get any choice yourself?
Initially, because of the pathway program, you didn't really have a choice, and it was fairly new. It was starting off, and they just threw us in a division. We had four guys, and everyone got put into a team. But as you progress into your contracts, if you can get to a restricted or unrestricted level, which the stage that I'm at right now, you tend to have a choice at the unrestricted level. That's when you get to decide, okay, I want to go here or I want to stay here based on your talent. But early on with the rookie contracts, you don't really have a lot of choice. You just kind of have to go with whoever has your rights.
As you've not gone through that traditional system through college and the draft system, et cetera, is that you get much pushback on that? Are the guys quite welcoming, or how does it work as a kind of a guy that's come over from the UK?
It's a production based industry, right? So it's like, what have you done for me lately? So if you're performing, I'm sure that they're gonna keep you around. If a coach sees your talent or sees something in you that they're able to bring out, I'm sure they're going to stick around. But my journey is I've had to claw and fight for everything that I've got. Nothing came easy to me. So I live by hard work and gratitude. So it's just that's kind of been my journey. I can't speak for anybody else, but. Yeah, that's it, really.
Mm. Forgive me if this is a stupid question. It's according to the stats in front of us, you've got 5.5 sacks this season. Right. Does that mean you didn't quite take down the last guy, or like there were two of you caught in exactly the same moment?
No, so that means that me and another teammate hit the same guy at the exact same moment.
Oh. Okay, and did you get there slightly before him or slightly after him?
It can't be VAR.
It can't be exactly the same moment.
He wants that. I want that half a sack.
I want
back.
That half off you.
Yeah, I do want half a sack. Well, some websites don't count it as half a sack. Some websites count it as a whole. Yeah. But it all depends. But it's all fun.
we just played that little clip of you taking out Brady. I mean, do you get a bit starry eyed at times if you play the game, you love the game, and just now and again you look and think, blimey, that's Tom Brady.
Right. In the moment, I was still locked in. I was still in season mode. I was still a competitor. But now that I'm out of it, I'm taking time, spending with my family and my wife. I can appreciate the work and appreciate the success that I've had. And yeah, that is Tom Brady. He's arguably the greatest, if not the greatest, to ever play that position. And I mean that position. And you know, for all defensive linemen, he's definitely on our bucket list. So I'm happy that I got to him.
I like the idea there is a bucket list.
there is a bucket list.
Great. I suppose at that moment, you can't say, can I have your shirt at the end of the game? Yeah. He's probably not quite in the mood.
And you played against him twice this season. How are you seeing the game at the weekend against the Chiefs?
You know what? I haven't got a skin in it, so I'm very impartial. But I will say this: a lot of guys have lost a lot of bets, got betting against Tom Brady. Mm. You know, so you know, on one side you've got the greatest, the GOAT in my eyes, and then the other side you have a young guy that's arguably making a statement that he can achieve the success that Tom Brady has. All he needs is time, and he has amazing weapons to do that. So it's going to be a very interesting game. Like it's honestly a football miracle that the fact that these two guys are on a big stage. Yeah. It's going to be an exciting game.
Yeah, Brady Mahomes will be great. Just finally, I'm sure you do watch the game, or is it too painful as you're not there? Or when you watch the game, do you watch it like the fan does? Do you ever make it a big sort of social event, or do you get together with teammates? How do you tend to watch the Super Bowl?
It all depends what year it is, but this year, you know, because of the pandemic, sure. I'm just going to be very small. Me and my family in the house. You know, I watch it as a fan. There are a few guys on either side of teams that I'm close with and I'm going to be rooting for. But I'm just going to be watching it as a fan, and also maybe just learning from what guys in my position are doing. Like I also do that as well.
Of course, yeah. Well, FA, good to talk to you. I really appreciate you joining us. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take care. There's FA Abada there, Carolina Panthers.
Great story. It's a brilliant story. Yeah. You should read
and
more about it.
And yeah, his whole life story is fascinating. We didn't get a chance to talk about it all, but you should go and check it out. Incredible guy.
On his profile picture on Twitter, I mean, it's like it looks like a photo from, you know, every great American football movie you've ever seen. Yeah. There he's holding the ball in the middle of his teammates, huge grin on his face. I like that. Well, I'm happy to grant him the whole sack. I don't know if I have that power, but I don't think he can have six.
Okay, then. Max Rushton has spoken, if the NFL are listening this afternoon. Birthday spread coming up shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Here we go then, birthday spread. Andy Jacobs is going to join us in a few moments and give us 10 birthdays. He'll have a top quality gag attached to each one. That's a guarantee. You can take that to the bank. The scoring will be done by Jeff Peters, because the first week we tried this as a contest between myself and Max, it was a disaster. But Jeff has knocked it into shape. We've got to guess the age of 10 people. It's the person really with the smallest score at the end, the lowest margin of error on all those 10 birthdays, is the winner. Play along at home if you've got nothing better to do. Guess the birthdays with us and see what you score, and lord it up if you're better than us.
Can I just say, for the record, I know that Mike Duxbury is 61. I hope it hasn't made the birthday spread.
So do I. So that's a level playing field. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon.
The quality of the gags today, what are you going to get? A solid what out of 10?
Oh, I'd say a tremendous 6.
Oh, OK. Bodes well. Jeff, good afternoon. Oh, there you are. Jeff's in his nerve centre. Yeah.
Good afternoon. And thank you to Andy for early sight of the birthdays and how old they were.
Organised this week.
But not the gags, so I can enjoy them in real time.
You say enjoy.
I can guess where a couple of them might be going.
Okay. Yeah. But so can I.
If Andy's sending the birthdays to Jeff, and you know, we don't know how honest Jeff is.
He could Jeff's be honest as the day is long.
So there's no price that you or I could give to
I think neither of us would want to, although I'm beginning to feel that you might be prepared to pay for it.
I'm an honest player.
All we need now is Pele. Here he is. Okay, Andy, your first birthday.
Okay, very happy birthday to Mike. No, it isn't. It's Sean Curley, the hockey player. Oh, Sean Curley. And I'm so glad to see him still popping up in the birthday spread and still in the male grooming business with Craig Short.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. Who are you with there, Jeff? Jeff's got a high laugh. He's got a high laugh, Jeff, isn't he?
We don't need fake laughter, thank you.
This is the real thing out there.
I didn't take any notes of the joke, because I was doing maths to work out Sean Curley. That's how seriously I'm taking this.
Who's going to go first this time, Jeff? You're in charge.
Max.
Go on, Max.
Okay, so Sean Curley.
Yeah.
10, 20, 30. Oh, God.
What are you reckon?
Well, it was 88, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, no, it was in 90.
In your own time.
Okay, yeah, I want to get it right.
Well, for God's sake,
only got 10 minutes.
10 birthdays.
He's so
here, you know.
Competitive.
It's ridiculous.
57.
I'd say very similar age. I would have gone that. I would have gone about 58. What is it, Andy?
61.
Oh, okay. Right, then. So, what's happening, Jeff?
Paul 3, Max 4.
Okay, off we go.
It's all over.
You're going to have to be quicker than that. This is T20 birthday
okay,
spread.
Okay,
okay. We've only got
don't
10
don't
minutes.
Rush me.
Okay, it's happy birthday to the civil engineer and chairman of the National Express, John Armitt. John Armitt. And I saw him out with Hugh Woozencroft, and I didn't recognise him. It really annoyed me. I said to him, Hugh and who's Armitt?
Very good. Wow. Very good. 68. Oh, God.
Okay.
See how quickly I did that?
Well,
68.
You're so
I
good
said.
At this game, Paul.
Well, I could be 22.
Smug player, aren't you? I'm clinging on to coattails this early. 67.
What is the end?
75.
75. Oh, okay.
So it's Paul 10, Max 12.
Okay, 10, 12.
Oh, close contest.
Here we go, Andy.
Sir Leonard Butternut Squash. Here we go.
The entrepreneur and Dragon's Den investor for 10 years, Duncan Bannatyne.
Oh, yeah.
Duncan
yeah.
Bannatyne. And I went to him, actually, to ask for backing for my new board game based on the birthday spread. It was going really, really well till I showed him Jeff Peters' scoring system. And that's when he said, that's why I'm out.
Oh, what about that? Oh, nice. Nice, yeah, yeah.
Duncan Bannatyne is, I'm going to say, 72.
Would you say he's that old? You
oh,
think he's
here
had a bit
go.
Of work
here
done? I don't know, you could be right. I mean, he's probably older than you think. I think he's 69, I'm going to go for.
It's Max's back, he's 72.
Oh! Okay.
I cheered too much. I cheered in your face
did,
there. It's
yeah,
poor
yeah,
etiquette.
It's getting a bit nasty in here, actually.
That's the equivalent of a send-off.
Yeah,
really.
It was. What's the score, Jeff?
It's Paul 13, Max 12.
Oh, he's taking the lead. All right.
Can Jeff stop doing his sound effects? They're really annoying me.
Okay. Oh, okay. I like them.
I don't.
Just keep doing
Professor,
it. As they annoy you.
Andy, tell Jeff how you feel about his sound effects. Yeah. Yeah.
They're terrible. Okay. They don't add anything.
They do.
Okay, it's Professor. Well, they don't. They're just ruining it. We want the groaningness. We don't need all that other stuff. Okay.
That's great,
Professor isn't? Germaine Greer. Professor Germaine Greer.
Greer, yeah.
And she took part in an experiment, amazing experiment, with the former Leeds and Notts County striker, Shawanmi. Germaine persuaded him to take part in RuPaul's drag race. Yes, it was the female Enoch.
Oh, really good. Blimey, okay.
Really good.
Germaine Greer's got to be, late 70s, isn't she now? Or possibly, oh, wow. And 79, I'm going, Andy. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I don't ask Jeff.
Jeff, I'm sorry.
You might know.
I know.
What do you think, Jeff? Yeah. Actually, what do you think, Jeff? Let us know.
I think she's 45.
77.
She's 82.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a roller coaster. It's swinging one way and another. It's now Paul 16, Max 17.
At one point, we're going to have to say, there's been a winner in the birthday spread. Say, has there, Jeff? Anyway.
It's halfway, coming up to the halfway point. It's Philip Glass, the composer and musician. He's an old mate of mine, actually, Philip. He's got amazing appetite. I once cooked him a slap-up meal, 6 courses, but he was still hungry at the end of it. Yes, glass was half full.
Okay. I thought he'd joined elbow. I thought you were going down that.
Well, I feel this is going to be the moment where Paul just sits back and goes, I think Philip Glass is much older than that. I'm going to say Philip Glass is 68.
I think he might be a bit older than that. Not much older than that. Don't get upset.
I'm upset.
72 I'm going to go for. What is he?
84.
So I should have been 84. A bit bolder.
So Paul is 12 out, Max is 16 out.
Okay.
So
your
it's
job, Jeff.
Paul 28, Max 33.
Okay, hey, getting on at home,
close,
folks.
Though.
Let us know your score.
Come on. Are you getting on at home? I just think they turned off.
Not you.
Would be my guess.
Not you. Yeah. They're playing along, aren't they? They're playing like inter-family like you do when university challenges are.
They're listening to classic FM.
Mum and Dad, the kids, they're all round their radios.
Come on, Andy. Give us a Cambridge United left midfielder.
No, it's a bloke you will know from the actor from Normal People from 2020, Paul Mescal.
Yeah.
And he was fishing with Nigel Botherway when he accidentally swallowed Nigel's bait as it flew off the hook. Yes, Mescal had a worm inside him.
Oh, beautiful. There we are. It's my go first, isn't it?
It's your go first,
Mescal.
Yeah.
Max has got a real game face on. He's not listening or indulging any of these gags.
Honestly, Max, I'm not playing next week if you don't listen to the gags. There's no point. It's ridiculous.
Max, that's the point of this. Max looks like he's turning out for Polytechnic. He's about to go to a penalty shooter.
I'll just say the names. I won't bother. It took me about 2 days to write these. You're not even listening.
I do apologise. You're absolutely right. I'm really not playing in the spirit of the game.
Paul Mascow.
I apologise to my family and to everybody.
27.
He's 26.
He's 25.
Oh, okay. We're all in the ballpark. What's the score?
I thought that'd be a good one for you, Max. Mezcal, because I know you like a drink and some modern drink.
I didn't hear the joke, Andy. I was focusing. Yes,
I know.
So Paul is two out. Max is one out. So it's Paul 29, Max 34.
Okay, keep going.
Sorry. Sorry. It's Paul 30, Max 34. Just to clarify.
All right, okay. Yeah.
Mansfield, Northampton.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And Jeff's the only person who knows what's said there. Anyway, Sir Chips Keswick, former chairman of Arsenal. And blimey, it was very unfortunate, his last garden party. He got too close to the barbecue, sunburnt, and his cravat caught light from the outdoor heater. Yes, Chips was triple fried.
Nice.
One for fans of Heston Blumenthal. Yeah.
Sir Chips Keswick, 81. Yeah, Sir Chips. I think he might be a bit older than that much. 84, Sir Chips.
Sir Chips is, where is he gone? He's 81.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's a draw now, Jeff.
So, it's a direct hit for Max. Yeah. Paul, you're three out. So it's Paul 33, Max 34.
Okay, and how many left?
Three.
Three, okay. Go on, Andy, keep going.
Okay, Tony Flower, founding chairman of the Young Foundation think tank from 2005 to 2007. The Young Foundation think tank, Tony Flower. Oh, and I was actually part of that think tank. And we were supposed to go to a conference in Las Vegas to see Neil Diamond. Yeah. But the last minute, he decided to drop me. And I couldn't believe it. You don't bring me flour. I said to him,
Wow.
Blimey. I preferred it when I was focused.
Yeah. I might start focusing.
You've only started listening with it. These are the rubbish ones at the end. You've missed all the good ones.
Oh, there we go.
What do you think he is? The boy?
Tony Flower.
Tony Flower.
2005, at the top of his game.
Yeah.
Tony Flower is 71.
Okay, I might go a bit younger. I might go 66. Clickety click.
Oh, Max is in there. He's 70.
Oh.
So Paul is four out. Max is one out.
Yes.
Now Max is in the lead, 35 to 37.
35 to 37, yeah.
Wow. Okay, it's the ballet dancer and choreographer from the Royal Ballet, Will Tuckett. Will Tuckett. Careful. And his grandmother, I know exactly. His grandmother lives in a tiny isolated island off Cape Cod, Massachusetts, Nantucket.
Oh, yes. You didn't have years, Andy, there, did you, for Will Tuckett? He's still the ballet dancer, is he?
Yeah, he's still there, yeah.
He's still there, old Will Tuckett.
Choreographer, though, and dancer.
Oh, choreographer and dancer, yeah, Will Tuckett. That's a toughie, this, isn't it? 64. What do you think, Max? You could really take the game. You could take me out.
Don't play mind games, mate.
You could take me out.
I really want to go just one away. But yeah. I just think Will Tuckett's a bit younger than that.
Okay.
I'm just trying to play your game. 61.
52.
Oh, so that what does that do with the scores, Jeff? Are we going to the last one?
Paul is 12 out. Max is 9 out. So Paul moves on to 30. Paul moves on to 49. Yeah. Max on 44. So Max has a 5 lead.
Ooh,
and
wow.
you go first this time, don't you, Max? So you can't. You can't do any S-housery.
I can't do any S-housery. No. Here we come. It'll be Sir Winston Bourbon Biscuit.
What's it? Conservative.
Paul Hawksby's best friend for the last 20 years.
Me and the Bourbs. Go on then, Andy, take it away.
Serge Dornay, the artistic director of the London Philharmonic Orchestra from 1996 to 2003, Serge Dornay. And I used to queue up for tickets at Chelsea with Serge and the late great broadcaster Darkus Howe, who was always just ahead of him in the queue. Yes, it was always Darkus before the dawn.
That's a good one. I like that. That was good, Andy. That's your finest hour.
Serge Dornay. He was doing 96 to 03, so he's got to be getting on a bit, hasn't he? I'll go 87.
87. I'm going to go. How many? I'm five out, aren't I? You said,
yep,
Jeff?
Yeah.
I'll go 81.
Tactical. He's 59.
Oh! Oh, no! He's nicked it by one. I think I've nicked it by one, Jeff.
Yeah. Paul is 22 out. Max is 28 out. So Paul on 71 and Max on 72.
It's a game of chess. Oh. It's a game of chess.
Well, what a great... Look, birthday spread was the winner. And that's what we all want.
I'll send you the first five games in the post-match.
Thank you so much.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Andy will be alongside me.
What
from
a birthday one. Spread that
yeah,
was.
What a way to go out for you, Max.
I mean, literally, at time of recording, I'm back
you're
in the dressing
quite
room.
Heavily.
I am. I'm queuing up for the media interviews. I'm like Ralph Hasenhüttl after that 9-0.
You're gutted. I can see. Really I can am. See it in your face.
Yeah, I took it too seriously. And I apologise to everyone.
You're back on Tuesday, aren't you? Of course.
If selected, yes.
Yes, Andy, with me tomorrow from one. If you can listen, great. If not, the H&J Daily Podcast and indeed the Clips of the Week podcast will be available at around 5. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.